Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. As we've seen from recent emergencies and disasters, including tornadoes, floods, an influenza pandemic, earthquakes, damage to a nuclear facility, and a large oil spill, there is always an impact to the public health and medical care. Strengthening the country's public health preparedness and response takes many forms and complementary efforts. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, plays a critical role in seeing this through, pursuing a strategy for national health security that promotes resilient communities and health systems that coordinate, work together, before, during, and after disasters. What is national health security, and how do we get there as a country? How are we strengthening public health and medical preparedness, response, and recovery capabilities? And what is being done to ensure the availability of safe and effective medical countermeasures in the event of a public health emergency? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Dr. Nicole Lorie, Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Dr. Lorie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's great to have you. I'd like to start off first to get a sense of the history and mission of the office you lead, the Office of Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Well, you know, there's always been an emergency response component to Health and Human Services. But my office, the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response, is relatively new and was formed out of a lesson learned from Hurricane Katrina. That, in fact, it was the, I think, very wise opinion of many that all of the emergency response functions needed to be consolidated in one place. And in some place, there was, in some ways, there was a place the buck needed to stop here, that somebody needed to take responsibility from beginning to end for all that happened or might happen. And so the office was created at that time. It had a predecessor organization or two, one obviously dealing with the National Disaster Medical System that's been around for a very long time, and the other dealing with the need to develop medical countermeasures after 9/11 and the anthrax attacks. The mission, in fact, everything coming together under one roof, is relatively broad. On the one hand, my responsibilities are to coordinate policies on behalf of the secretary across the department, because lots of different parts of Health and Human Services, NIH, FDA, CDC, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration, on, all have a piece in emergency response. So first and foremost is a policy advising and coordination role that we do for the secretary. Secondly, we are responsible for the secretary's operations center and for the medical response components of an emergency. So under that, the National Disaster Medical System and other components exist. And if a community or state is overwhelmed and asks for federal assistance in one way or another, then the National Disaster Medical System kicks in and helps out. And then thirdly, we are responsible for what's called the advanced development and procurement of medical countermeasures for the strategic national stockpile. And those can be anything from flu vaccine for a pandemic, or for that matter, an H1N1, or countermeasures or vaccines against more traditional biothreats like smallpox or anthrax or botulism. So it's really a tripartite mission in a sense, and it makes it an exciting place to work because it's a place where science and medicine and public health and policy all come together. And I'd like to say, in the health sort of lane, you know, typically medicine and public health are on parallel tracks, never to meet. But this is a place where they really come together and meet and work collaboratively.
With such an interesting mission, I'd like to get a sense of the scale of operation in which you lead. How is your office organized, the size of its budget, number of folks who help you out and work for you, and the geographical footprint?
So we have about 700 direct employees, give or take, And then the National Disaster Medical System, which is intermittent employees, is a little over 7,000 to get called up in a disaster. Our 700 people are largely but not entirely based in the D.C. area. We have a pretty significant regional footprint. So in each of the 10 regions, we have staff, we have emergency coordinators and responders of one kind or another. Our budget is about $925 million, which includes our emergency response components and the advanced development of countermeasures. And then there has been an additional budget to procure medical countermeasures for the stockpile. That's the buying insurance for the country piece of it that we do.
Oh, interesting. So I'd like to focus on your specific responsibilities as Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response. What are your duties and what are the areas under your purview? And more interestingly, how do you support the overall effort of HHS?
My primary role is to advise the Secretary and leading this, as you can tell, very diverse operation of people who are scientists, people who are responders, people who are policy wonks. They all sort of come together, right? On the one hand, we work with the rest of federal government in the interagency. And, you know, had you ever asked me, could the federal government really pull together and focus and all be on the same page before I came into this job, I would have had a lot of skepticism. Mm-hmm. But in fact, it does. And it's done that routinely in the disasters I've been involved with, whether it's H1N1 or Haiti or Hurricane Sandy or others. So, you know, there's the part of working with all of the rest of the federal agencies and also being a voice for health at the table because, in fact, health is part of any disaster, whether you recognize it initially or not. Then there's the piece of it that involves helping our nation be prepared. And so that means working with state and local government, with the private sector, and with citizens around the country to create a culture and a practice of preparedness. And so we work on both of these ways. And then because, in my mind, preparedness and response rest on the back of strong day-to-day systems. We can't have a good preparedness and response system of our country unless we've got an emergency care system that works well, a health care system that works well. We can't have resilient people unless we have healthy people. And so our work interfaces with the work of the rest of the department at every step of the way. And then certainly in a disaster, the whole department comes together and contributes, and we're sort of the belly button and the coordinator for all that.
So with such an impressive array of duties and responsibilities and expansive, what are some of the top challenges, maybe the top three management challenges you face, and how have you sought to address them?
Well, let's see, there are three maybe overarching challenges, and then maybe some additional management issues, which are worth talking about for a minute. You know, first, overall, the mission, building a resilient nation and a culture of preparedness, is a challenge because most people in our country don't feel threatened day to day, fortunately. So building that culture of resilience and the culture of preparedness, number one challenge. Dealing with a public health infrastructure that is somewhat in disrepair and that is continuing to lose jobs around the country is counter to what we try to do in building a nation that's prepared. And so dealing with the political and budget realities on the ground, second big challenge. And thirdly, I think sustaining a national commitment to preparedness. People's memories are short. When something happens, they want to know, why haven't you done something about it and what have you done to be ready and why aren't you at the ready all the time? But as you get distant from any disaster, people's memories wane, the funding goes down, and their support to maintain it is less. And so then we constantly have to pay catch up. And that's not a very efficient way to run anything. And so keeping the nation focused and that commitment to preparedness is really important. I would say on the management side, because our mission is broad as it is, we've got very different cultures within the organization. We have a culture of scientists is very different than a culture of responders and is very different from a culture of policymakers. And their worldviews are different. Their approach to thinking and problem solving is different. It's what makes it a lot of fun but it also makes it challenging.
So given your background and your career path, what makes an effective leader? What are some of the characteristics of an effective leader?
I think that there are several. I think, first of all, having a clear vision and mission and providing clear direction is pretty important. In order to develop that, you need to listen to lots of people and lots of different perspectives. I think not being afraid to challenge or question dogma or the way things are, also pretty important to being an effective leader. Being able to bring people together, recognizing that good ideas come from anywhere and everywhere, and being able to seek out those good ideas and then use them in an action plan, I think is pretty important. Being able to resolve conflict and being able to make decisions, often rapidly, hopefully having heard all sides and grounding it in the best available science and information.
So your role is fraught with a lot of unanticipated, unexpected surprises. What were some of the surprises since you've taken over?
The thing that surprises me most is how many earthquakes there are in the world and how often. But it's almost a metaphor for the fact that the unexpected happens all the time. Yes, there are lots of earthquakes in the world, but things happen with, I think, an unexpected frequency. And you always know something's going to happen. You don't know what it's going to be. But that in some sense, dealing with most of them turns out to require pretty much the same skill set and the same set of capabilities. You always need surveillance. You always need to investigate what's going on. You always need to be a superb communicator. You always need to deal with fears. You always need science. A pleasant surprise for me has been the way all of HHS and, in fact, all of government and the American people really pull together when the chips are down. The trick is to bottle that and figure out how to help people come together with that same focus, determination, and energy outside of the context of an emergency.
What is national health security and how do we get there as a country? We will ask Dr. Nicole Laurie, Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.